It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, report cards for Wisconsin public schools are out today. We'll look at the state's best and worst schools and what the new report has to tell us.
First, the decision by a federal appeals court to reinstate Wisconsin's voter ID law has sent state officials scrambling to implement the law before the midterm elections, which are 7 weeks away.
Last Friday's ruling by the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago is also leading to some confusion among voters who wonder how the law will affect their ability to vote and what forms of ID they'll need.
The law requires voters to show photo identification when casting ballots. According to a lower court judge who had overturned the law, around 300,000 or 9% of Wisconsin's voters don't have the appropriate ID.
With us now is Kevin Kennedy, Director and General Counsel of Wisconsin's Government Accountability Board. Kevin, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, we just use the word scrambling. Do you feel as though you at GAB and county clerks, local clerks around the state are scrambling to try to comply with this ruling?
Does that make us an omelet? I don't know. Absolutely. I think everyone's been using the word scrambling. I mean, you know, on one hand, you know, we were laying the groundwork for the possibility of this happening, but until you get the court order, there's so many things that you need to step up. It's one thing to anticipate it. It's another thing to put it all into place. And, you know, a lot of the questions that we answered back in 2011 and 2012 are being asked by voters now because they haven't had to worry about it.
Let's start looking at the perspective of the voter here. What do we need to know if we're going to show up to vote in person on Election Day?
Well, basically, if you show up to vote in person, you're going to be required to do three things. State your name and your address. Provide an acceptable form of identification, and sign the poll book. You've already done the first and the third thing, and for some cases, the people may have shown the ID, but there's only a limited number of ID available. We do have, or that's permissible. The most obvious one is a person's driver's license, followed by a state-issued ID card. And for people who do not have either one of those now, and they can go to the Department of Transportation at the motor vehicles offices around the state and request a free ID for voting. There will be some steps they have to follow, and they're best to look at the DMV website for that. But other forms that are acceptable for ID, primarily for, U.S. passports, tribal IDs, military IDs. And then there's a combination of documents that students have that I probably best not go into it here, but we have information on that on the website.
But a student ID card with a picture on it alone is not enough, is that right?
That's right. It's not enough. There's a combination of things they have to show on that, and it's something we spent quite a bit of time working through in the last session. Some of the universities were starting to design ID cards that would meet the statutory requirements, but most had not done that.
A U.S. district judge who had previously overturned the voter ID law, it's now reinstated, of course, in the ruling said an estimated 300,000, about 9% of Wisconsin voters, could lack a qualifying ID, the ones you were just outlining there. Will the state be able to get the message out to those voters of what they need, how they get it in time for Election Day?
I think that's one of the challenges that we face in the Department of Transportation's Division of Motor Vehicles faces. Obviously, the information is on the website, but not everyone has access to the web. And, you know, we had put together a pretty intensive public media campaign and had budgeted for it and, you know, had made arrangements, but right now that's not in the cards. We're hoping we might get some money for it, but we don't even know what type of media would be available, given the fact that last time we had lined it up a year in advance, timing it for the various elections in 2012. So really, we're going to be taking advantage of as much free media as we can and doing our best to increase the visibility of this issue. But to a large extent, recognizing that press coverage may help energize the voters.
We've been talking about voting in person. Now, how about the absentee ballot? Obviously, if you're filling out a ballot at home and mailing it in, you're not showing someone your physical ID card. How do you present ID in that case?
Well, to request an absentee ballot, you have to send, along with your written request, or if you happen to be in the clerk's office, present. But let's say you're not in the clerk's office. If you want the ballot mailed to you, usually you send in a written request, and that requires you to send a copy of an acceptable form of ID before the ballot will be mailed to you. Now, one of the challenges we have is we have at least 12,000 ballots that have already been mailed out and several hundred that have probably come back and voted already. So our municipal clerks are going to have to reach out to all of those voters and tell them in order for their ballot to be counted, they need to send in a copy of their ID. And we've directed them to do that. In writing, so it's a written communication, and to do follow-up until, you know, to make sure that the people got the request. Now, all of these people have an address because we sent them an absentee ballot. So we do have contact information for them. And in the follow-up, if the clerk happens to have an email address or a telephone number, they can do the follow-up that way. But this is where I think we see that local election officials are being directed to take extraordinary steps to make sure that those people who voted, who already requested an absentee ballot or who already returned their voted absentee ballot, know what they have to do. And for those people who made the request but the ballot hasn't gone out, the clerk's going to have to do the same kind of outreach and say, I can't send you this ballot until you provide me with a copy of the ID.
Oh, and how about an out-of-state ID? Does it have to be a Wisconsin driver's license or other ID?
It has to be a Wisconsin driver's license or a Wisconsin-issued ID card, a passport, a tribal ID, or a military ID. And the important thing there is the person's name and picture.
Now, to turn it around, we've been focusing on the voter side of things. Now, to kind of your side of things, what needs to happen to make sure polling precincts are ready to handle voter ID?
Well, you know, we spent a large amount of 2011 and into 2012 developing training materials for poll workers, for municipal clerks, and informational materials for the public. And that didn't go away, and the ruling really doesn't change anything. You know, the basic requirements are still the same. There's very little that has to be changed in our training materials other than references to 2010 and 2012 that might have been there. And so we're reviewing all of that and getting information posted to the website, and we will be using our staff to talk to as many public groups as we can. There's a lot of groups that have a stake in this, League of Women Voters, the two political parties, various other social action groups who will, you know, take our materials and use them to reach out to the public. That was part of our strategy back in 2011 and 2012, was to make sure we had informational packets that, you know, community groups could say, we want to do something on photo ID. We understand you can't be here, but, you know, we have your materials. We can share them.
Are we going to need more workers at the polling stations to deal with this extra step?
That is probably going to be the case. I know Madison definitely anticipates that they'll need this. In practice, the main issue is that taking the time for a poll worker, when the ID is presented, the poll worker has four things they have to do. They have to make sure, first, that the ID is an acceptable form. In other words, you can't just flash a picture. It can't be an employee, you know, an employer's ID card, or, as you said, an out-of-state ID. So they first have to make the judgment, this is on my list of acceptable forms of ID, that the item is current and current. Interestingly enough, if it was valid as of November 2012, the November 2012 election, that will be considered current for purposes of whether or not it's valid. And then, does the picture reasonably resemble the person presenting it? It doesn't have to be an exact match, but, you know, we know people grow beards, lose weight, cut their hair, gain weight. Your looks can alter over a period of time. Our driver's licenses are 8 years old. I'm better looking than my picture.
Me too.
And the other thing is that they have to check to make sure the name reasonably resembles the name on the poll list. So, you know, minor disparities. The driver's license says Thomas, but the voter registration form says Tom. Katie instead of Catherine. Those, you know, it has to conform. The fact that the initial, middle initial is missing on one but exists on the other, those aren't reasons to deprive someone of the right to vote.
Kevin Kennedy, the Government Accountability Board, is with us. We're talking about how the newly reinstated voter ID law will affect voters in the upcoming election, and we want to hear from you. Are you confused about what this law means for you on Election Day? What are your concerns about how this law gets put into place? Will it affect, do you think, your ability to vote in November? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation after a look at the latest news with Kristen Durst. This is Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Veronica Rickert. We're talking about how the newly reinstated voter ID law will affect voters in the upcoming election. You can join the conversation. Do you have a question for Government Accountability Board Director Kevin Kennedy about how this is all going to work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet at Central Time WPR. Kevin, before we go to the callers, Congresswoman Gwen Moore this morning sent you a letter saying, hey, wait until after this November election. There's not enough time. This could cause harm and confusion. Is that an option for you?
Well, it isn't anymore. I think at the time that the court order was issued, the court order basically said if Wisconsin chooses to do this, and, you know, basically our attorneys, the Department of Justice and the governor's office, had been talking with us, talking with the Department of Transportation and with Health Services, saying that if the injunction is lifted, we want to go forward with this. This is our law. It was passed in 2011. And so in that sense, the decision was made. Yes, they do want to pursue this. Obviously, people could make the case that 7 weeks is a pretty short time, which is what we're out. We're 49 days out from the election to do this. But, you know, people have adapted to election law changes or other matters, and that was the decision that the state essentially made, is we are going to go forward.
We'll go to our callers now. We've got Matthew on the line in Madison. Matthew, hi.
Hi, I just wanted to just share the experience I had last year, anticipating needing to have a voter ID, and actually I think the poll workers basically thought that I needed voter ID. So basically, I used to go to school in Milwaukee, and I moved to Madison, and I'd never had problems voting before, but I went to do the same-day registration. I brought my ID, which had my Milwaukee address, but I brought two pieces of mail. I had my new address on it, but they wouldn't take it because they said it had to be a billing, something like a bill or a light bill. But I do all of my stuff online. I didn't do any of my stuff, you know, sent to my home anymore. So they told me I couldn't do it.
Matthew, gotcha. So this is a little different issue. It's not the ID there. It's proof of residence. So if we want to show up and register same day at the poll, Kevin, what do we need to show?
Basically, you have to have a current document that meets the criteria. There's 13 different pieces of acceptable proof of residence. Obviously, a current driver's license that shows your current address and your full name. You know, the two criteria for any of these documents are that it has a current address, that it has your full name on it. And the third criteria is that it has to be current. So this driver's license is going to help. Mail that's sent to you does not fall into that category. People who have billing statements, they can print those out. We do allow electronic proof of residence. In other words, you could take your smartphone and show it to the poll worker saying, here's my utility bill. And again, that has to be a current one. You can't show it from a year ago. It has to be current within 60 days. Actually, it's 90 days of the election. So there are ways to deal with this if you are doing most of your billing online. I mean, many of us have gone paperless in this area.
And if you're not allowed to vote at the polls, I know in other states over the years I've heard of things like provisional ballots where you can cast it and provide the proof later. Do we have anything like that in Wisconsin?
We do have that situation. And that kicks in with voter ID. There's some limited situations where you can get a provisional ballot outside of ID. The person who registered to vote by mail who never voted in Wisconsin before is required to show the same type of proof of residence. If they don't have it when they show up at the polls, even though their name is on the poll list, they would get a provisional ballot, and they would have to come back with the proof of residence before 4 o'clock on the day after, on the Friday after the election. Also, someone who walked in on election day to register to vote and said, I have a driver's license, but I don't know the number, would be given a provisional ballot, and it wouldn't count until they provided their driver's license number, because Wisconsin requires all new registrants to list their driver's license number. And now with photo ID back in place, if you show up at the polls and you do not have acceptable identification, you will get a ballot, and you have until the 4 p.m. on the Friday following the election to take that identification to your municipal clerk's office, show that. The clerk will then process your absentee ballot and count it.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Steve on the line in Stoughton. Steve, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. I was wondering if there's any research that has identified where large concentrations of folks without voter IDs are located, and if there will be an effort to go try to maybe mobile voter ID folks in those areas.
Steve, thanks. Kevin, you mentioned limited outreach potential between now and Election Day. Anything like that in the works?
You know, this is where we work with community groups. There will not be, you know, the Department of Transportation is not going to be going out, as far as I know, to these areas to assist with people getting the type of identification that's needed. Obviously, there's been research that suggests that low-income people, elderly people, students, and racial minorities tend to have less access to acceptable forms of ID. So those are the types of, and we look to talk to the community groups that interact with that. Obviously, we spend a lot of time talking to the university people and the college people here. To make sure that the information on how to get an ID or what's required or what the alternatives are is as accessible as possible. One of the benefits, at least with the student population, is they're much more tech savvy and are likely to be able to access that information fairly quickly.
Steve, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Gina with us in Madison. Gina, hi.
Hi, Kevin. My father's in a nursing home, and his driver's license expired about 4 years ago, and he's not mobile. How does he vote?
There are some exceptions for people who are indefinitely confined and for people who are in extended care facilities. Basically, someone in the extended care facility, we have some provisions where the person who operates that facility is essentially going to be vouching for the identification of the patient. And what I would do is direct you to our website to check that information out. That's an area, you know, it's a good example of areas where we'll be doing some specific outreach, talking to people who run these residential care facilities to make sure they understand the situation.
Thanks a lot for the call, Gina, and good luck to your dad on voting day. We had a caller who says she feels worried for the poll workers. Any advice for voters on the care and treatment of the people working polls on Election Day, Kevin?
Bring cookies. actually, become a poll worker would be nice. If you've got the time to volunteer, and in Wisconsin, we do allow people to work part-time, although that's a municipal decision. But I know Madison and Milwaukee, for example, you don't have to work the full 13-hour day, and they will take advantage of that opportunity. So I would encourage people to do that. It connects you to the process. You'll see some of your neighbors. But I think understanding that, yes, this is going to be a big demand on poll workers, be patient. There might be a voter in front of you who either has strong opinions one way or the other that you sort of have to hold yourself back from getting drawn into that discussion, or recognizing that some people are struggling, you know, with access to their document while they're in front of you. So I always tell people to be prepared, bring your ID, but be patient, because, you know, we most of our votes are cast in person. At this election, you know, probably 80 to 85% of the people will vote at the polls on election day.
And briefly, is there an online one-stop shop for people to get their questions answered for voter ID and other voting issues?
Well, the main place to go right now is to our website, which is GAB, for Government Accountability Board, .wi.gov. We haven't put up yet, but we have a special microsite that this is the areas where we're verifying that we don't have any typos or misdates that will, you know, there'll be a special link just to that. But there's, I have up right now, you know, if you go to our website, the very first thing you see is voter ID, more information.
All right.
And I just pulled that up.
Kevin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Happy to do it. Thank you for inviting me.
That's Kevin Kennedy, Director of Wisconsin's Government Accountability Board.